مبلغ for you, it's my prayer. Oh, مبلغ for you, it's my prayer. May you keep ascending success, stair, success, stair.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وصحابك يا نور الله. There are many blessings in reciting Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. It is narrated that Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu stated that Allah Azza wa Jalla has created a tree, and this tree is in paradise whose fruit is bigger than an apple, but it is smaller than a pomegranate. It is softer than butter, sweeter than honey, and more fragrant than musk. The branches of the trees are made of pearls, its trunk is made of gold, and its leaves are made of gemstone. Allahu Akbar. That the person who recites Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam will be the only one able to eat fruit from that tree. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We've said it many times before and we'll continue to say it. In our daily lives we have a lot of time that we waste. Don't waste this time. Utilize that time in reciting Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Who knows that one extra Durood-e Pak that you recite today might make all the difference on the Day of Judgment. My dear viewers of Madri Channel, Islam is a peace-loving, truthful, beautiful and complete religion. Islam has always been dominant in every era due to its unparalleled qualities and will remain dominant. Islam has also guided its followers in many matters, such as Islamic affairs, worldly affairs, matters concerning the hereafter, matters concerning character, external and internal affairs, household affairs, family affairs, social affairs. For example, treating Muslims well, sharing the troubles and pain, being the well-wisher and try to please them. In today's inshallah bayan, we're going to learn about the excellence of pleasing each other. It is written on page 455 of Hakayatun al-Nasiyyati that a poor person kept a fast with his family. He had nothing to eat in his house, so he left his house to look for food so that they could do iftari, but he found nothing. He then entered a market of goldsmiths, and he saw that a shopkeeper had spread pieces of expensive leather in his shop, and he was dropping a pile of gold and silver upon it. The poor person approached the shopkeeper and gave salam to him and said, "Sir, I am in need. If possible, could you give me one dirham as a loan? I need to buy food for my family so that I can do iftari. And with this, I will make dua for you." Hearing this, the shopkeeper turned his face away and did not give anything to the poor person. This obviously hurt the poor person and his tears began to flow. He was returning from the shop when a non-Muslim neighbor saw him. He came out from his shop, approached the poor person and said to him, "I was watching you speak about something to my neighbor, the goldsmith." The poor person replied, "Yes, I asked him for a loan of one dirham so that I could arrange iftari for my family. But he sent me back empty-handed, and I even said to him that I will make dua for you in your favor." Allahu Akbar. Hearing this, the non-Muslim gave 10 dirhams to the poor person. And he said to him, "Spend this on your family." And the poor person, now he's got, he only needed one dirham. Now he's got 10 dirhams. He came home and he was happy. Upon nightfall, the Muslim goldsmith, that same person who had pushed away that poor person, he saw a dream. And in that dream he saw Judgment Day had been established, and there was a severe level of thirst and calamities. Then he suddenly saw a white palace made of pearls whose doors were made of rubies. He raised his head and he asked, "O owner of the palace, please give me some water to drink." Allahu Akbar. He then heard a voice, "Until yesterday evening this palace was yours, but when you broke the heart of that poor person and you gave him nothing, your name was erased and this palace has been transferred to your non-Muslim neighbor who fulfilled the need of that poor person and gave him 10 dirhams. Allahu Akbar. after waking up. The goldsmith approached his non-Muslim neighbor and said to him, you are my neighbor. You have a right upon me and I need a very important thing from you. The non-Muslim neighbor said to him, what is it you require? Tell me. He replied, give me the reward of the 10 dirhams that you gave yesterday to that poor person, and in exchange I will give you 100 dirhams. Allahu Akbar. Non-Muslim neighbor, he said, I swear by Allah Azza wa Jal, I will not give you the reward in return for 100,000 dinars. Rather, even if you desire to enter the door of the palace which you saw in your dream last night, I will not even give you permission for that as well. The Muslim goldsmith, he was surprised and shocked, and he said, how did you find out about this secret? The non-Muslim replied, I was informed of this by that being who says, be to anything and it is. And I bear witness that there is none worthy of worship except Allah Azza wa Jal. And I also bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the bondsman and his messenger. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. My dear viewers of Madir Channel, we can see from this that non-Muslim, he made a Muslim person happy, and as a result, Allah Azza wa Jal, from his grace, blessed him with such a great bounty, i.e. faith. And when such a great and priceless blessing like faith can be attained by pleasing others, then how can other blessings of this world and hereafter not be attained? Therefore, we should also make a habit of pleasing others. Pleasing others, my dear viewers, being kind and loving, consoling, comforting, all of these are words have the same meaning. They all mean to sympathize with others, to make other people happy, to make happiness enter into their hearts. Pleasing others holds great importance in our religion. Whilst refraining from places of tribulation, i.e. fitna, a Muslim man pleasing other Muslim men, his mahram who he cannot marry, his children, pleasing people is a great virtue. And same thing for our sisters, pleasing the people that they can please, the mahram men that they can please, is also a great virtue. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, in the sight of Allah Azza wa Jal, the best action after performing obligatory acts is to make happiness enter the heart of a Muslim. Allahu Akbar. But just ponder about that. That after the obligatory acts, which we're always knowing, we're always told about these obligatory acts, that it's farz upon us to do this, it's farz upon us to pray, it's farz upon us to fast, it's farz upon us to do all these things. And we are told the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, in the sight of Allah Azza wa Jalla, the greatest, the best action is to please, make happiness enter the heart of a Muslim. In another hadith, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam reported, no doubt, pleasing your own Muslim brother is from those acts that make forgiveness compulsory. Allahu Akbar. In another hadith, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever has made a Muslim happy, he has pleased Allah Azza wa Jalla. Allahu Akbar. And the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever makes a Muslim happy, Allah Azza wa Jalla creates an angel from that happiness who worships him and speaks of his oneness. And when that person reaches his grave after dying, the angel comes to him and says, do you recognize me? And the person in the grave, he replies, who are you? And the angel then says, I am that happiness which you put in the heart of such and such person. And today, I'm going to get rid of your troubles by pleasing your heart. I'm going to help you in remembering your proof. I'm going to ensure you remain steadfast on the truth while answering the questions of the angels on the grave. And on the day of judgment, I will be with you. I will intercede for you in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. And I will show your abode in paradise. Allahu Akbar. By pleasing a Muslim, by putting happiness in the heart of a Muslim, if only we realized how important this is. Sayyidina Bishr Hafi, rahmatullahi ta'ala, stated, pleasing a Muslim's heart is better than 100 optional hajj. All those Muslims who go on hajj every year and push away your Muslim brothers. All those Muslims who go on hajj every day, who do not help your Muslim brothers but annoy them and give them grief. We are told that if you were to perform 100 nafal hajj, 100 optional hajj, but pleasing a Muslim's heart is greater than that. Allahu Akbar. Sayyidina Khwaja Nizamuddin Awliya, rahmatullahi ta'ala, stated, on the day of judgment, there will be no action as valuable as looking after another person and pleasing others. Sayyidina Mahmud Damashqi, rahmatullahi ta'ala, stated, whoever dies whilst pleasing another person, he is a martyr. Allahu Akbar. My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madinah, we need to make a habit of trying to help our Muslim brothers, trying to look out for the problems that our Muslim brothers are facing, and if they are facing any problems. And in today we are seeing, with the current situation that we're seeing here in the UK and around the world, people are facing problems. There are people that are self-isolating, they cannot leave their homes. There are people that cannot even go out to get food. There are people that are ill and they're sick. What are we doing to help them? And just think, if you were to please them, if you were to put happiness in their hearts, Allahu Akbar. We have seen the benefits of this, if only we did this. Allahu Akbar. Ah, beautiful waqi, I'm going to relate to you. Please listen to this and remember this and try and pass this on to others. One night, Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala, he saw a tent whilst walking through the streets of Medina. When he got closer, he heard the voice of someone suffering a difficulty. There was a person sat outside the tent. He gave salam to him and asked him about what had happened. And he found out that he wanted to meet the Khalifa of the time. And this person, he did not know that the person that he was stood in front of him was not only the Khalifa of the time, the Amir al-Mu'mineen. And he told him that his wife was in labor and was close to giving birth. Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu, rather than saying, I am the Amir, yeah, what is it you want? Tell me, yeah, I'll sort you out, tell me. He went home. He went home and he asked his wife. Now listen to this question that he asked his wife. He said to his wife, do you want to earn the reward? Do you want to please Allah Azza wa Jal? Now this was the mentality of these people, that they look for opportunities to please Allah Azza wa Jal. It wasn't that, come on, we've got to go and do something. Come on, I want you to come with me. Come on, we need to go and do this. The question was asked. He asked to his blessed wife, do you want to earn the reward of Allah Azza wa Jal? Allah Azza wa Jal has brought this opportunity to you. Yaniki, Allah has brought this opportunity to you to earn reward. And she replied, Huzur, what is it? And he answered, a woman is close to giving birth and there is no one with her. And she said, if you are happy, I will go. He replied, okay, you gather your important supplies and let's go. When they reached the tents, Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu, he sent his wife inside and he sat outside with the person. He said to the person, light the fire. And the person lit the fire, and Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu, he put a pot over it and began to cook the food there, yeah? When the food inside the pot was cooked and it was ready to be served, from inside, his wife called out and said to him, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, inform your companion that he has a son. Allahu Akbar. As soon as the person heard the words of Amir al-Mu'mineen, he got scared. And he took some steps back with humility and he sat down. Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala said to him, stay where you are. He then picked up the pot and gave it to his wife and he said, feed the woman so that she is full, that her stomach is full. He then gave the food to the person and said to him, come to me tomorrow morning, I shall fulfill your needs. When that person came to him in the morning, Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he fixed an amount for the child and he gave the person some money as well. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, we're talking about, in this particular incident, none other than the Amir al-Mu'mineen, the Khalifa of his time. The person that at that time was probably the busiest Muslim around. He's the Amir al-Mu'mineen, he's got the whole of the Ummah to look after. And remember, this is that person that we are talking about, that the very same person whose shadow Shaitan would run from. We're talking about that same person who's given the glad tidings of paradise. That same person who the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, O Allah, honor Islam through Sayyidina Hazrat Amr bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala. The same person who would stay awake during the night and would walk through the streets for the well-being of the orphans and the helpless. That same person who according to whose opinion many verses of the Quran were revealed. And that same person whose sense of responsibility, because he was the Amir al-Mu'mineen, he had such a sense of responsibility that he said, if a goat died hungry at the bank of the river of Euphrates, then I fear that I will be questioned about it on the day of judgment. This person, the great Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu, he was the ruler of the kingdom that was thousands of miles long, whose name would cause the likes of Kesar and Kisra, the kings of Rome and Persia, to tremble. We're talking about a person that didn't have free time. We're not talking about a person that was sat at home and not doing anything. Okay, I'll do a bit of charity work, I'll go out and find out what's going on. This person was probably the busiest Muslim at the time, and yet he still find time to go out and find out about the well-being of the fellow Muslims, to see if there were any difficulty. And when he went there, he didn't go in pomp and glory and say, I'm the Amir al-Mu'mineen, what do you want? He went there in simplicity, in humbleness, and he went there and he helped the Muslims. not saying to them, not announcing who his name was, but went there with the intention to please the Muslim, to help the Muslim. And there are many, many waqiyas related like this similarly. In another incident is narrated that Sayyidina Imam Hassan radiallahu anhu, he was passing by such so poor people who were sat begging in the middle of the path, and they were eating leftover pieces of uncooked roti, and they were scattered on the floor. So there were some poor people, and they were eating leftover pieces of bread that were uncooked, and they were there scattered on the floor. And they gave salam to him, and they replied and requested, "O grandson of the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam, eat with us." When they invited him, he said, "Allah Azza wa Jal does not like those who desire greatness." Allahu Akbar. He then ate a few pieces with them, and whilst leaving, he gave salam, and he said, "I've accepted your invitation, and then you need to accept my invitation." And they said, "Hazur, as you say, whatever you wish." He then said to him, "Come with me." And when they came to his house, he fed them an excellent food, and they all ate together. Allahu Akbar. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, those people who love the Ahlul Bayt, just think about it. What excellent character that the grandson of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had. He had such a high status. But this person, he saw these beggars on the street. He sat down with them on the street. He ate food with them on the street. Food that was uncooked. Food that possibly could have caused problems to his health. He sat there with them. And then what did he do? He invited them to his house. Now, my dear viewers of Madani Channel, ponder, what is our status? Now, when we have got a little bit of status, we sit up upright and we don't associate ourselves with those people who don't have our kind of status, who are not educated like us, who do not have power like us, who do not have business like us, who are not in our status, who are not on the same education level. We won't even sit with them, let alone invite them to our houses. We won't go to their houses, they won't come to our houses, because we won't invite them, we won't sit with them. We'll feel as if we've been degraded by sitting with them. Allahu Akbar. But just think about this, the grandson of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had this humbleness that he sat with them. Why? To put happiness in their hearts, to please them, to make them feel happy. And this is something that we need to learn, my dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madani Channel. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated that whoever adopts humility for his Muslim brother, Allah azza wa jal elevates his ranks. Whoever desires to be above his Muslim brother, Allah azza wa jal will make him inferior. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah azza wa jal loves those who are humble and dislikes those who are proud. You know, Islam is such a beautiful religion. And you know, like a tree, what does a tree do? A tree bows down and gives you the fruit. If a tree was firm and stands, then you could not get the fruit. We should be humble, we should be lower ourselves. Put pleasure in people's heart. If we are stern and stand up and don't speak to people in a nice way, we're not putting pleasure in their hearts. We're not making them happy, we're making them sad, and ultimately we're causing ourselves problems. In this particular hadith, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah loves those who are humble and He dislikes those who are proud. And think about it, what have we got to be proud of? Yeah? You're proud of the fact that you've got so much money, that you've got so much wealth, you've got so much assets, you've got so much gold, you've got so much property and land here and abroad. And in the current climate we're seeing with this disease that's coming, this disease doesn't say, okay, I'll just take the poor people. This disease can take anybody. And it's only now here in the UK that we're trying to wake up and realize that this is a problem. But many, many times we've said before that if Allah wills, in a blink of an eye, earthquakes are happening all around the world, tsunamis are happening all around the world. All these problems are happening all around the world, and within a blink of an eye, you can lose everything that you've got. And because we've never had it here in the UK, we think, no, we're immune to it. And because we become immune to it, we think we become immune to it, we think that it's not a problem. But remember, my dear viewers of Madani Channel, within a blink of an eye, if Allah wants to, then we could have a tsunami here wherever you are in the UK. We could have an earthquake here wherever you are in the UK. If Allah wants, then you can, you know, if it is in your destiny to get that disease, you will get that disease. So nobody should be proud of anything. And at this particular time, when people, unfortunately, what they are doing is they're running around, hoarding food. I went last night to go and buy some bread, and the store looked like it had been ransacked. You know when you see these pictures of houses where they've been burgled and everything's all over the place? It actually looked like this. You know, is this what we've become, that we're foraging for food like, effectively like animals? You know, I was really happy today. In one sense, I saw a social media post where a certain individual, he put a picture of some rice, and he put a picture of some atta, and he put a picture of some cooking oil, and he said that I am a wholesaler, and my wholesale place is full of these goods. And I realized that at the moment there are a lot of Muslims out there that are vulnerable, that do not have access to this because they can't get up at 6 o'clock in the morning to go to the stores. And when they get there, if there's any pushing and shoving, they can't get that. He said, I will give this at cost price. And he said, if you wish, you can come and see my invoices. I'll give you a cost price so that I don't lose out. But I want people to have this, those people that are struggling. And he also said to people, look, if there's anybody out there that can help me in distributing this, then please come forward. Within minutes, alhamdulillah, Muslims came together and said, I've got a van, I'll be there at 5:30. I've got a van, I'll be there at 6 o'clock. I've got a van, I'll be there at 4 o'clock. My car is a hatchback car, I can do this. And alhamdulillah, the community came together. And what is this? What is this, the community coming together to work together, to put the happiness into the hearts of Muslims, to help your fellow Muslim brothers that are struggling out there. And unfortunately, we've become, in this country, there's a saying, I'm all right, Jack. As long as I'm all right, I don't care about him. I don't care about all you people out there. Is this what we should be like? Is this what the role model the Muslim should be like? That we should not care about anybody? We should not care about our neighbors? Not care about our Muslims down the street or those vulnerable people that are struggling? We shouldn't care about them? No, my dear viewers, this is not what Islam is about. And we've heard today so far that Islam is about pleasing, helping your fellow Muslim brothers. Alama Sayyid Ahmad Sayyid Qazmi rahmatullahi ta'ala had a habit of pleasing others. He was an excellent scholar of Islam and a wali of Allah Azza wa Jal. He was a prime example of someone who practically followed the character of the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala sallam. It is narrated that once a person invited Qazmi Shah Sahib rahmatullahi ta'ala to a wedding of his nephew and requested him to perform the nikah. He accepted it, and it was decided that the nikah would be performed between Asr and Maghrib. But like normal things, like many weddings, the wedding was delayed. And the person went to Qazmi Sahib, rahmatullahi ta'ala, and he said to him, Haji Sahib, you had said that you would perform the nikah. And he said to him that, you know, you said it between Asr and Maghrib. Maghrib is now past. You've come late. But the person said, but please come. And he was about to have his own grandson's akika was about to be performed at the home. But he realized that if he did not go, then this person would be upset. Even though an akika was taking place at his own home. And he said, okay, I will get ready. He said, look, I'm sorry I was late. And so Qazmi Sahib said, Rahmatullah Ta'ala Sahib said, don't worry, I will get ready and I'll come with you. And he got up and he didn't even change his clothes. Whatever clothes he was in, he went there. And he performed the nikah very peacefully, not as if he was in a rush. He did a lengthy dua, as if not to let people know that he was in a rush. And the person says that Qazmi Shah Sahib rahmatullahi ta'ala had to return home quickly as guests had arrived. But in spite of that, he gave so much time that we all became very happy. Allahu Akbar. Nowadays, if somebody's got an appointment with us and say, okay, you know, I'll be there at 2 o'clock and they come at 3 o'clock, well, I ain't got time now, sorry. I've got to go somewhere else now, forget that. Or even if you haven't got anybody else, well, I told you 2 o'clock, why are you not here? And if it is feasible for you, look, in this particular instant, even though he had guests at home, even though the hakika was about to be performed at home, yet he still said, okay, I will go to you. Why? He left his guests at home. Why? Because he wanted to please them people. And ultimately, everybody became happy that this great scholar, the wali of his time, even though they called him late, he still came. And not only that, we relate in the waqia today, that this great person, he came. Why are we relating this waqia today? Because he pleased the heart of the Muslims at that day. Allahu Akbar. Similarly, an Islamic scholar narrates that once a poor person came from an area within the city of Multan Sharif and he requested, I have arranged a mehfil of milad at my house to attain blessings. I'd like you to come and do a bayan. Alama Qazmi rahmatullahi ta'ala said, he promised to come after Isha. And this person that related, he said, I also accompanied him. After Isha, we reached the person's house, who then took us up to the second story of the house. And when we arrived there, only 4 or 5 people were present. We're talking about a great scholar of the time, a great wali of the time. This was the gathering. But what did he do? He didn't say, oh, there's only a few people here, you know, let's wait. He was called to do a bayan, and he did a bayan. And that bayan was for approximately 1 hour. The person could not give anything due to poverty. And Qazmi Shah Sahib rahmatullahi ta'ala returned in an utterly calm and peaceful manner. And on the way back, he said to the people that were with him, if I did not do that bayan at that time, the person's heart would have been broken, and now he's very happy. Because in one instance, he was the person that invited this great scholar, he was upset that the guests hadn't arrived. And you know, listening, reading this waqia makes you think, why didn't the guest arrive? Didn't the guest arrive because maybe this was a poor person and he wasn't going to give extravagant food there? Nowadays, do we make a decision that, oh, I'm not going to go to that mahfil because, oh, I'm not going to get kebabs there, I'm not going to get samosa there, I'm not going to get good food there, so I'm not going to go there, but when this person invites me, I'm definitely going to go. Or is it because when this person invites me, oh, he's influential, this person can be useful in the future, I need to make sure I go there because in future I'm going to need his help. If this is our intention, then our intention is wrong. Our intention should be to go there to please the person, to make the person happy. And if we go there, and there are very, very few people there, for whatever reason, if you're called to do a bayan, if you're called to do a naat, or if you're just even called to attend, yeah, and the food's not very good, then don't complain about the food. Complaining about the food, or well, if you're not complaining to, you know, telling the person, complaining about the food to somebody is ghibat. Oh, the food's not very good. He's not got a good spread out today. He's not put any kebab out today. There's no good sweet dish out today. There's no ras malai out today. You know, these complaints, when you complain to each other about the food that the host has brought, is ghibat. You should do shukr and you should say to yourself, look, I'm coming here to please, to put pleasure in the person's heart. But unfortunately, nowadays, whatever we do, unfortunately, the majority of the things that we do nowadays, we do it just for worldly reasons. We do it just to try and better ourselves or improve ourselves. We are told, my dear Islam brothers, that there are many, many ways that you can please a Muslim. There are many, many ways that you can put happiness in the hearts of the Muslims. We just mentioned a few today. But visiting the sick of a Muslim, offering condolence, attending the funeral of the Muslim, sympathizing with a Muslim who has suffered loss. Nowadays, when someone's made a loss in the business, yeah, we're sniggering. Acha, tiga, okay, he's gone bankrupt, never mind. Okay, yeah? We're not, unfortunately, we've got to that state where rather than being happy when our Muslim is being successful, we're happy when he suffered a loss. Which again is something that we need to ponder over. We should sympathize with our Muslims when they suffer a loss. Contacting Muslim friends and relatives from time to time for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Treating Muslims with softness and goodness. Financially helping your needy Muslims. Removing the difficulties of Muslims. Viewers of Madinah Channel, especially those that are in the West, do we not have family abroad? In the villages, in the cities, in Pakistan and India, and wherever they are around the world, those relatives that we have that are struggling financially. You're driving around in your big cars. You're getting takeaways every other day. You're driving around in mansions and you've probably got a big house back home as well, but some of your relatives are struggling to make ends meet. Do you ever think anything about them? Do you ever try and help them financially? You know, they say helping your relatives is one thing, but putting the pleasure, you know, putting a bit of happiness in their hearts is another thing as well. Do you endeavor invite and feed Muslims just for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla? Again, if we do all of these things with the intention that I'm doing this, why? To please Allah Azza wa Jalla. I'm not helping someone so that people know, oh, I help people. Yeah, I tell them, oh yeah, I've helped this person, I've built a house for him, I've done this for him. You invite people so that people can say, oh yeah, he's got a big spread here, he's invited 50 people, 60 people. You go to the Nawazi Janaza so that you can have your picture took so that people say that you were there. You visit people so that they know that you are there, so they're part of the community. And unfortunately nowadays we see this. People that are looking to get material gain, to get worldly gain, are performing these same acts that we mentioned. But they're doing it with the wrong intentions. Allahu Akbar. We do not realize, my dear viewers, that there are many, many Muslims around us that are stuck in difficulties. Many, many Muslims are poor and we don't even look for opportunity to help them. Many Muslims are ill and we don't go and visit them. In many cases, we hear that Muslims have even passed away in neighborhoods and we don't even know about it because we don't attach ourselves to the community and we don't go and perform the namaz janaza. We don't care about our Muslim neighbors. We don't care what's happening with them. We come into our house, lock our door, and as long as I'm all right. And I'll use the statement again, I'm all right, Jack. As long as I'm all right, I don't care about this neighbor, I don't care about that neighbor. Forget about everybody else in the street. Forget about my relatives. Forget about all my relatives that are struggling and suffering wherever they are in the world. I don't care about them. Is this the way that we should be? And just think that Islam is such a beautiful religion that it gives you this opportunity to gain so much reward. Yeah? And think about it, a day will come, viewers of Madinah Channel, a day will come where every single thing that you have done, you'll be rewarded for. Think about that story that I mentioned at the beginning, where that non-Muslim, he gave them 100 dirhams, 10 dirhams, and in reward for them 10 dirhams, he was rewarded. Just think what reward we will get. That person, he was rewarded with faith, and he was rewarded with a palace in paradise. Isn't this what we want? Do we not want to attain the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla? Do we not want comfort in our grave? Do we not want comfort on the Day of Judgment when everybody will be struggling? And nowadays we see this nafsa nafsi where people are running around grabbing milk, grabbing bread, grabbing all these things. Just ponder for a second. What you are seeing today, what you are seeing today is a minute percentage of what will happen on the Day of Judgment. On that day we were running around to try and get our deeds, trying to attain the pleasure of, trying to seek forgiveness on that day. Today you're running around for bread. Just think about that day. Allahu Akbar. We need to learn to love each other. We need to learn to help each other. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, love for other people whatever you would love for yourself. And whatever you do not like for others. When you speak, speak good, otherwise remain silent. You know, this hadith, I've read it many, many times, but there's so much hikmah in this beautiful hadith. Love for other people what you want for yourself. Dislike for other people what you would dislike for yourself. You know, when it comes to the masjid for giving charity, you know, they take the chadar around, what do people give? They get the pockets, they enter the pockets, and they find all that coppers that are weighing down in the pockets, that are causing so much problems in the pockets, and they take that and they get all the coppers out, and they might put a few 5 pences with it, but all the pound coins, they put them in the pocket, and just to take the weight out of the pocket, they put them in the chadar. And when they put them in a big kring, so people think that they put a lot of money in there, you're just emptying your pockets. And when you're giving to people, when you're giving to the poor people, what are you giving? You're giving to poor people those clothes that you don't want to wear anymore. You're giving to the poor people that money that really you don't want to give, but you feel guilty that you're not giving it. Again, is this what we should be doing? Allahu Akbar. And when you speak, speak good, otherwise remain silent. Again, there's so much hikmah in this. You know, if you want to speak good about someone, speak good about them. You know, praise them. You know, we've been taught that if you want to praise someone, praise them publicly. Even within the Mahal of Dawat Islami, we have such a huge structure of Zimmadars within the Mahal of Dawat Islami. And we're told that if someone does good, praise them publicly. But if someone makes a mistake, rectify them on their own. Call them to one side and say to them, brother, this is what's happening. You know, you may have heard the beautiful hadith of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he said that a Muslim should be a mirror of another Muslim, you know. And what happens is this mirror looks at you and it says to you, look, your beard's like this, it's not this there, it's not straightening your beard, make sure this is right, you know, Imam Ash-Sharif's not straight. It doesn't run down the street and tell other people, it tells you. And this is what we need to be. If our Muslim brothers have fault, tell them, don't tell other people. So if you're going to speak, speak good. If you've got nothing, no good to speak, then remain silent. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has also reported to have said that a believer remains in his religion until he wishes well for his Muslim brother, and his well wish, and when his well wishing leaves him, then he is deprived of the blessings of tawfiq. You know, even to just wish good for your brothers, yeah, do dua that your brother has happiness, do dua that your brother that is in financial difficulties, he is better. You know, these are the sort of things that we need to try and do to try and please our people. You know, even if you can't do it, you know, even if you made the intention, Ya Allah, if I'm given enough money, then I will help this Muslim brother of mine. I know he's in difficulty. I know he is struggling. Ya Allah, if I had something, I would help him. And share with your Muslim brothers. And they're saying that barakat has been lifted in many, many houses nowadays because we don't share the food. You know, there was a time where food would be going from house to house. Yeah. But now barakat has gone because we're not sharing the food. And why were we sharing the food? Why? Because we wanted to help our fellow Muslim brother. Even if that we knew that person had food in the house, why did we send the food? To make them happy, to put a bit of happiness in their hearts. Allahu Akbar. My dear Islamic brothers and viewers on the Madani channel, you've heard about the Madani Namat card. This is a beautiful card that Amir al-Sunnah has given us. And I'm just going to give you one of these. And this Madani Namat card is a card where basically it gives you acts that you should try and do on a daily basis, a weekly basis. It's a rectification card to rectify yourselves. And one of this, Madani Namat number 53, it says, during this week, did you visit at least one sick or grief-stricken person at the home or hospital for consoling according to the sunnah? Furthermore, did you present a gift, yeah, and advise him to seek cure through reciting the urad? Go to people, visit them when they are sick. We don't even do that. Why? Because we haven't got time. We haven't got time. But Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu, he had time. That's not an excuse, my dear brothers. That's not an excuse for us of Madani channel. We make these excuses. If there's one thing that we have got, it's time. The problem is we waste that time. The problem is we don't manage that time. We need to learn how to manage our time. Allahu Akbar. We need to start doing these acts that please people. With regards to visiting the sick, the Holy Prophet ﷺ said, whoever visits a sick person, an announcer addresses him and says, rejoice, because this walk of yours is blessed, and you have made your abode in paradise. Allahu Akbar. Just walking towards somebody that is sick. But again, we haven't got time. The Holy Prophet ﷺ said, whoever visited a sick person, until he does not sit down, he is diving in the river of mercy, and when he sits down, he submerges in the mercy. Do we not need the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal? Allahu Akbar. Condolence, going to see people. The Holy Prophet ﷺ said, whoever offers condolence to an afflicted person, he will be rewarded equivalent to the afflicted person. Allahu Akbar. The Holy Prophet ﷺ said, whichever believer offers condolence to an afflicted person, Allah Azza wa Jal will make him wear clothes of nobility on the day of judgment. Meet people whilst you're smiling. Allahu Akbar. The Holy Prophet ﷺ said, yet you cannot please people through your wealth, but you're meeting them with a good character can make them happy. Just meeting people with a smile. You know, and this is the amazing thing. If any of the viewers of Madhi Channel have been blessed with an opportunity to meet Amir al-Sunnah. Whenever you go and meet Amir al-Sunnah, you're in this line, you're in a long line, maybe sometimes you've seen Madhi Channel. And I've had the blessing a few times to be able to meet Amir al-Sunnah. The long line is maybe 500, 600, 700 people. When you meet Amir al-Sunnah, the smile that he gives you, the welcome that he gives you, it's as if he's been waiting for you all night. Do we meet people like this? Unfortunately, we see nowadays that we're talking to somebody, somebody gives up and we give salam, we ignore them, we don't even look at them, let alone smile at them. We don't even give them proper salam, so we just wave their hands as they're passing by. Again, meet people with a smile. Put happiness in their hearts. If you meet people with a mood, they're not going to be happy. So meet people with a smile. Allahu Akbar. Removing troubles of another person is also an act of pleasing others. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever removes a single worry of a Muslim, Allah Azza wa Jal will remove one worry for him of the worries of the Day of Judgment. Think about all these things that you've got to be worried about on the Day of Judgment. It's a huge list. No matter who you are, no matter where you are, no matter what you are, you've got a huge list of things to worry about. And if you want that list to get less, of all the things that you got to worry about on that day, remove a worry from a fellow Muslim brother. It is stated in the hadith, every loan is a charity. Help your fellow Muslim brother. Even if it is in the form of a loan where you expect to get it back, I wish that we were in a position where you could give your Muslim brother the money and say, don't worry about it, brother, here, keep this. If you can't do that, then at least help your Muslim brothers that are struggling. You've got that money hidden under their mattress, and yet your neighbor is struggling financially. You know, they're struggling to make ends meet, and you've got loads of money stashed away under the floorboards, under the mattress, under the pillow, hidden away. And yet you're not helping your Muslim brothers that are suffering, not only in your street, in your home, but in your country abroad where people are struggling to make ends meet, you're not helping them. Giving more time to struggling debtors is a good time. So if people, you know, owe you money, and they have a problem, then be humble with them, be nice with them. You know, accept the problem. Yes, there are people that take advantage of this, but people, if they are genuine and they say, look, brother, I'm sorry, I wanted to pay you back today, but I can't pay you back today. You know, give me 2 weeks, give me 4 weeks. Yeah? Instead of being, okay, brother Tiga, don't worry about it. Oh, you don't worry, you look after yourself. It'll get sorted sooner or later. But unfortunately, what is our mentality? Cha, you said you were going to give that money today. You promised that you were going to give that money. And then we start telling people, he promised to give you the money today. He's not a very good person. He borrowed this money off me and he never gave me back. This again. You know, what are you doing? What are you achieving by that? Tell me, what are you achieving by telling people that this person is a not God person because he's not paid the loan back on that time? Nothing. You've hurt his heart. You've hurt his feelings. Allahu Akbar. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated, as long as a person continues to fulfill the needs of his brother, Allah Azza wa Jal will continue to fulfill his needs. Allahu Akbar. May Allah Azza wa Jal give us the tawfiq to remember our Muslim brothers and sisters that are not as fortunate as we are, that have the problems that they are facing. And my dear brothers, in the current times we are facing here in the UK and all around the world, we're facing unprecedented times where we are seeing that things are getting shut down, businesses are getting shut down, transport is getting shut down, shops are getting shut down, people are struggling to get food. You know, at this time, my dear viewers of Mother Channel, we need to learn to remain calm. We need to learn to remember Allah Azza wa Jalla. This is a golden opportunity for you. What's your excuse now for not reading the Quran? What's your excuse now for not reading your namaz 5 times a day? What's your excuse now for not doing nafal on these times? This is your golden opportunity. Take it as a blessing. You know, all these things that I've said so far, you keep on making excuses in your mind. I haven't got time, I haven't got time, I haven't got time, I haven't got time. And yet I told you the example of Amir al-Mu'mineen that he had time. So that is not an excuse. But now if you are under self-isolation, if you are having to stay home for whatever reason, if you're working from home, then that time that you would spend in traveling to work, use that time in reading the Quran. That time that you would spend in coming back from work, use that time in reciting Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The money that you have saved by not going to work, the petrol that you have saved, in the fuel, in the bus fares, in the train fares, use that money and donate it in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Take it as a blessing. Take this current situation as a blessing. So please, don't panic. Take this as a positive. Look at the positive sides of things. And do dua in the court of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Do istighfar in the court of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And take this opportunity. Because we do not know the law. If it is not this illness, then the illness of death will catch us one day. And at the moment they've not found the cure for this, but they will find it. InshaAllah, they will find the cure for this one day. But they'll never find the cure for death. That will come. And yet we're not afraid of that. So my dear viewers of Madani Channel, please learn to bring pleasure in the heart of Muslims. Please learn to forgive your Muslims. Please learn not to hurt your Muslim feelings. And please remember to be calm in these situations and remember Allah Azza wa Jal. I pray to Allah Azza wa Jal, if I've said anything wrong, may Allah Azza wa Jal forgive me. And I pray to Allah Azza wa Jal that Allah give me the tawfiq and you the ability to think about what you have said. And inshaAllah Azza wa Jal, keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
Mubalik for you, it's my prayer. Mubalik for you, it's my prayer. May you keep ascending, success, stay, success, stay.